Come on!
Look for something unusual. Something hard. Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Kumite, and welcome to Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. Your monthly Jean-Claude Van Damme movie review podcast. I'm your host, Paul Schroyer, and this month, we are talking about the 1994 classic, Time Cop. I'm excited to talk about this movie. I'm excited to talk about all Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, honestly. But this one's a favorite of mine, one of my favorites, and I can't wait to get into it. We have a special treat for this episode. Justin Kelly from the podcast Juice in the Morning will be calling in later on to give his review on this movie. This was one of his favorites, so I reached out to him and I wanted to get his thoughts and opinions on it. So yeah, so that'll be later on in the episode. All right, well, let's just go ahead and get into this. Now, Time Cop, like I said, it came out in 1994. It was originally, it's based off of a comic book by Dark Horse Comics. They also do the Aliens and Predators comics. I don't know if some of you people used to read that back in the day. It was one of my favorites. And I think they did Spawn as well. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure they did Spawn. But yeah, so they had made a Time Cop comic book and decided to make a movie out of this, and very wisely chose Jean-Claude Van Damme to be the leading guy in it. So it opens up on a rainy day. The title card says Gainesville, Georgia, 1863. You see some Confederate soldiers carrying a wagon, and then you see a guy standing there. He pretty polite, nicely asks the Confederate soldiers to hand over General Lee's gold, and they declined. So the guy pulls out two SMGs and guns them all down, and magically does not hit one horse, shooting two SMGs without really aiming down the barrel of it or anything. Didn't hit any horses. Killed all the soldiers, though. So then it hard cuts to Washington, D.C., 1994. There's a convention going on with senators where the guy says that Dr. Hans Kleidendust, I'm butchering this name, I barely caught it. It was like Dr. Hans Kleidendust has invented time travel. And he says, you can only go back in time. You can't go forward in time because the future hasn't happened yet. He is wanting to start up a Time Enforcement Commission, also known as the TEC, to kind of police time travel and make sure people aren't going back in time and doing things for monetary gain. He says it's going to cost a lot of money, and one of the senators goes, well, what's a lot? And then this movie had a lot of awesome lines, and it starts off, you know, at the beginning with one of my favorites. He goes, well, how much is a lot? And he goes, more than a little and less than too much. Like, all right, smart ass. He says that General Lee's gold like wound up in China or something like that, and that's why they need to have this time enforcement commission to prevent stuff like that from happening again. Then it cuts to Jean-Claude Van Damme sneaking up on his wife and surprising her at the mall. Another awesome line, like exchange between him and his wife. He goes, there's not enough time. And she goes, enough time for what? And he goes, to satisfy a woman. I mean, that's smooth. I don't know. That's smooth. So, you know, he says he's there to meet her husband, but she'll go with whoever's behind him, and surprise, it's her husband behind him, Jean-Claude Van Damme or Max Walker. He's telling her that he just got offered a job with the TEC, and he's going to take it. He also stops a rollerblading pickpocket by, like, kicking his foot in front of his face, and the dude stops right in front of it and goes, "What's it say?" And he's like, "Wolverine." And he goes, "Oh, no, read between the lines." And he goes, "I should get the fuck out of here." And so the dude goes and gives the purse back to the old lady and dips out of there. And then after that, the wife makes fun of Jean-Claude Van Damme's broken English. I thought that was pretty funny. Because he was talking about, like, me and him had a little chat. And she goes, I'm surprised he could understand you with your terrible English. Or something along those lines. It was awesome. So then it cuts to, like, probably about the only part of the movie that we kind of see Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt. It's a partial JCVD butt alert at they're, you know, it's sex scene, they're doing it, it's awkward kissing, especially whatever Jean-Claude Van Damme was doing with his tongue. I don't know, it was weird, but you see some side butt in that. And yeah, so then it, like, they fall asleep after they do it, and Max gets woken up to a phone call of him having to go into work. On his way out, he gets beat up by some dudes, shot a couple times, but luckily he had his bulletproof vest on, so he doesn't die. And then the house gets blown up with his wife inside. Another hard cut. There's a lot of hard cuts and, like, title cards in, like, the first, I'd say, maybe, like, half hour, 45 minutes of the movie. Maybe even, like, the first hour of the movie is a lot of hard cuts with, like, them having to put title cards up, because I was like, they're like, I don't think people will understand when or where we're at. But it cuts to New York, specifically Wall Street in 1929. Max is now a TEC agent and has got a little longer, curlier hair than he did back in 1994. Well, technically it's 1929. We'll find out the present date here soon. He's come to stop his former partner, TEC partner. I did not catch his name. They said it a bunch, but whatever. He came to stop him from playing the stock market and making a bunch of money. He beats up two dudes. The first dude was pretty easy. The guy gets up and he's like, "I lasted 10 rounds with some old boxer guy," and Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, just kicks him and punches him one time and goes, "Oh yeah, well, I watched Tyson beat someone once," or something. You can tell that I'm a huge sports fan, even though I do really like boxing and shit, but whatever, this isn't a sports podcast. We're here to talk Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Now the second dude comes up, grabs Jean-Claude Van Damme. He does, like, a little walk up the side of the wall and flips over the dude. The guy grabs a lamp, goes to swing at him, and we have our first splits of the movie. At 20 minutes and 15 seconds, Jean-Claude Van Damme does the splits to dodge the busted lamp coming at him. He ends up beating up the dude by splitting the lamp post in half and hitting him in the dick with it. There is a lot of dick shots, literally, with, like, getting punched, kicked, hit with objects, shot, like, literally shot with guns, like, a lot of dicks getting brutalized in this movie. Alright, so, you find out that Senator McComb, one of the senators from the beginning of the movie in the conference room, you find out that he was the one that sent this dude back, so that he could help him raise money to buy the presidency in the present time. The guy tries to commit suicide because he says if he goes back and rats out the senator, he'll have his whole family killed. He jumps out the window. Jean-Claude Van Damme jumps out after him, grabs him, and pushes a little button on his vest. A little portal opens up, and they are back at TEC headquarters, Washington, D.C., 2004. So the present time in this movie made in 1994 is 2004. Now, the crazy thing is some of the things that they guessed, I guess, that would be going on 10 years in the future are kind of happening now. And we'll get into some of those here in a little bit. Even though it's, you know, now it's 2019, you know, it's 10, 15 years past what they're predicting. But it gets crazy. We'll get into those in a little bit. The dude who, the stock market dude gets put up for trial. Jean-Claude Van Damme's trying to get him to rat out the senator. He doesn't say anything. He gets sentenced to death. I guess if you travel back in time and try to steal money, it is punishable by death. So they literally just teleport him back to him falling down the side of the building. He smashes on the ground and dies. Now, some senators show up. Senator McComb is one of those people. Him and Walker Max are kind of like eyeballing each other. And they kind of know that each other knows what's up. Like, the senator knows that Max knows he's the bad guy. And he was the one who was going back in time stealing the money. So, you find out also at this point in time that the same matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So, there's a danger of you running into yourself when you go into the past. You can bump into yourself and pretty much you all die. Like, molecules combine and you're dead. You also find out, now here, this is the crazy part. Okay, so this is... was in 1994, the Senator McComb was buying his presidency at a time where the person with the most money would become president, and he was winning the support of the people with his Close the Border campaign. I'm not going to name names. It kind of sounds like somebody I know that's going on right now in 2019. Wealthy, would say maybe kind of bought his way into the presidency and now has his own build a wall, close the border campaign that he was running during his election. I don't know. I'll digress. But Senator McComb says that elections are won by television. You don't need the press. All you need is money. Who else does that sound like? So, Walker gets into his car. And here's another thing that's kind of like, this is way more advanced than what we have nowadays, but the car he gets into is self-driving. He just tells it to go home and it drives him there. I mean, you kind of with like Teslas and stuff nowadays, it's kind of self-driving. It's not that advanced, but we're getting there. So apparently he likes to go home after work and put on the same old videos of his dead wife and sit down with a beer and repeat his lines from the video out loud till he falls asleep, I guess drunk, is what I'm guessing. Well, suddenly Max is woken by a guy with a taser pointed at his head. He beats him up and then sword fights another dude with knives, which I gotta say, that part was hilarious to me. they got these dinky little knives, and it's like ting 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 ting, and they're like sword fighting, dude. It was pretty funny. He ends up using the knife dude as a shield to get hit with the 50,000 volt taser, and it kills him. And then at this point, we get Splits the number 2, and it's also the final Splits of the movie at 36 minutes and 52 seconds. He does the splits to get up on a counter to avoid being electrocuted because there was water on the ground, and the guy with the taser ends up electrocuting himself. So then you find out there's an internal affairs investigation going on Walker because his former partner went back into time, and she was assigned an internal affairs officer named Sarah Fielding. And she is to go with him on his next mission back into time. So they go back into time, and I have some questions about the time traveling, because now you finally see how he goes back into the time. So they get into this pod, okay, and, oh, before that, another invention, I guess, that's around now that they predicted for 2004 was the dude with the virtual reality sex. I mean, we got sex robots and virtual reality equipment now that pretty much, I mean, come on. So anyway, so like they got these back to the time traveling stuff, because this is the part that like is amazing. So they got these pods that they go into, okay? And in order for them to go back into time, they have to be in the pods. But for them to return to the present, all they have to do is push a little button on a pad. Like, why can't they just push the same button on the pad to go back into the present? And so then they were like making all these jokes about the people who have died hitting the wall at the end of the launch pad. Why put a wall? Is that necessary? I don't think it is. It doesn't seem necessary. So, yeah, so they hit the button, I mean, and they launch this pod at this wall, and it goes through a little portal thing, and then the two people come out. The pod disappears, but then the two people show up without the pod and land in the water. Where does the pod go? Do they have to build a new pod every time they launch? I don't know. Mechanics are a little flawed on it. I feel like just remove the wall. Make the tracks a little bit longer. Like, if that's the case, just make the tracks a little bit longer. Remove the wall. Maybe just have it in like an open field. Or even into like a lake. So if like, okay, maybe, yeah, you might not launch into the past, but at least the pod will like hit the water and you can get out and live. I don't know. They are going pretty fast down that track. So anyway, so they go back into like, I guess it's like 1994 again. And you come up to the McCombs factory of like microchips or some shit like that. And you see 1994 Senator McCombs getting bought out by his partner, and the bank decides to pay him out. And here comes future or present Senator McCombs to the past Senator McCombs to tell him, no, you're going to lose a shit ton of money. You need to hold on to that. Don't do it. Blah, blah, blah. Well, Max is hiding in the rafters. He gets the jump on the senator. He pulls the gun out. Here comes Sarah as his backup. Everything's fucking awesome. He gets down there, and lo and behold, that Sarah has been working for McCombs this whole time. She double crosses Max, and so now they're getting ready to kill him. He escapes, beats up, kills a bunch of people, and now we get into like my favorite like fight scene, I guess, of the whole movie is this. So So when Max pulls the gun on McCombs, he says, "Freeze." And McCombs makes a big deal about it. He's like, "Does it look like I'm freezing? Why say freeze? I'm not frozen." And so Jean-Claude Van Damme's like fighting this dude. He's like riding this like forklift up to like fight this dude. And he causes the guy to shoot, I guess, like a nitrous tank. I don't know. If somebody else knows, email me at vditsjc@gmail.com and let me know exactly what it was he shot. But like this cold, like, gas freezes half this dude's arm. I guess it was like his whole arm and like a part side of his body. And Jean-Claude Van Damme says, "Have a nice day," and kicks his arm off, and the dude falls. But then he walks up, and there's McComb, and he's got a gun. And Max says, "I guess I should have said freeze." And McComb's like, "Yeah, that would have been a little bit better. Like, why not just say free?" I'm telling you, man, these lines and the just say freeze. Why make a whole meta like, I'm not going to do the cliche one-liner. Instead, I'm going to say have a nice day, but then point it out that I should have said freeze later. Just to let, I guess just so he didn't get tweeted at about not saying the right one-liner. Anyways, back to the movie. McComb turns on Sarah. Senator ends up shooting her in the shoulder, and I thought the head, but I guess it wasn't the head. I don't know. He shoots her two times, and he dips back, and so then Max ends up dipping back to the present. He pushes the button, but then here's like, okay, so we saw the pod disappeared when he traveled back to the past. Now he's returning to the present. He's back in the pod. Is it a simulation? But if it's a simulation, then why does it matter if matter touches matter? And or the same matter occupies the same space. But it's like, I don't get it. How do they get back into the pod just by pushing the button on the thing? You teleport it back into the pod? Why not just teleport you back to the... I don't know. Other than that, the mechanics are flawless for the time travel. That's the only issue is the pod. I believe everything else, the science works, except for the pod. If you could have did away with that, I would have believed the whole thing. Anyway, so now you find out that McComb, since he didn't sell his little things in that cyberware factory, that he now pretty much owns all of the TEC. And you see McComb sitting there in his like jet. I think it's a jet or it might be a limo. I don't know. He's sitting there with his assistant. And earlier, in the other present, before this now changed present, he like had pushed his assistant's face against the wall and like busted his nose. And so even in this present, the new changed present, his assistant still has a busted nose. So no, it doesn't matter if the future changes, if McComb changes anything in the past, he's still going to fucking beat the shit out of his assistant. That's the dude's a douchebag. So Max is like, "This is crazy. I can't believe, you know, McComb owns everything. He's about to be president. I have to go back. I have to save Sarah Fielding's life and get her to testify against McCombs and stop all this." So Max and the leader, his chief of the TEC, they illegally break into the pod room. They beat up some guards. The guard comes in and kills the chief dude. But Max is able to get sent back to 1994. He leaves in the pod, exits out of the pod in front of a truck, and like lays down and doesn't get hit. He finds Sarah Fielding in the hospital. She's about dead. for some reason, he's like, I'm going to go get something, and he leaves. And when he comes back, somebody had put an air in her IV and killed her. The nurse comes in. He gets framed for it. Now he's running through the hospital trying to escape. He ends up escaping. And he goes and he meets his wife at the mall on that trusted day when she got blown up. He kidnaps her and tells her, like, you know, I'm future, your future husband. And, like, she doesn't seem fazed by it at all. Like, this dude who looks exactly like your husband except with longer hair and isn't as clean shaven is telling you, I'm your husband. She doesn't ask for ID, nothing. Starts making out with him, like, follows him all over. He's getting shot at, and, like, not once is she like, what the fuck is going on? He's just like, trust me, trust me. And she just trusted him. So then everything plays out, you know, the way it did at the beginning. And now we are exactly back at the beginning of the movie where the guys beat up Jean-Claude Van Damme and blow up the house. But instead, you've got present Jean-Claude Van Damme to help. So now we have yet another movie that has two Jean-Claude Van Dammes kicking ass, and it's fucking awesome, and I love it, and we could use two or three more movies with two Jean-Claude Van Dammes in it. That's my opinion. It might not be the popular one. So yeah, they were kicking ass. Two of them. It was awesome. A lot of guys getting shot in the dick at this part. We talked about this earlier. This was it. They were getting shot left and right. Like, the wife shoots a dude through the roof in the dick. Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, takes this guy's shotgun and, like, tilts it back at him and shoots him in the dick. It's crazy. So then you have the final confrontation between Senator McComb and Max Walker, and Senator McComb has Max's wife hostage. And I actually have a clip that I wanted to play because my all-time favorite line of this whole movie is said during this clip. And instead of me trying to say it and do it justice, I figured we'd just play the clip. So here it is. Here's the final showdown between Max Walker and Senator McComb.
What are we going to do, Sheriff? There's a bomb that's going to go off any second now. You know what happens then? We're all going to be dead. And I'm going to win by default. My young self is still going to be president. And you can't save your wife. Just like you couldn't save her once before.
She died because you came back and made some changes.
So now you're going to fuck with time. You're as bad as me.
Wrong. I'm setting it right.
You know, usually I hate doing things more than once, but in this case, I don't see any other option.
I do.
What the fuck are you doing here?
So,
what do you mean? You called
Max
me. Left a message with the Senate operator.
And trick
message, you fucking idiot.
Passed McCombs to show up in the same house as
nobody's good at future.
Present McCombs. So if they blow up, he's dead.
I hope you're happy. This is a real mess. You turned what was going to be a simple, ordinary murder into a bloodbath. You get out of here. Get out of here. Go. Go.
You two should be closer.
Keep him away from me.
Same matter can occupy some space. I'm still kicking. I must be on Broadway.
That's my favorite one-liner. And then he kicks past McCombs into present McCombs, and they like turn into like some orange gear and die. That's my favorite line in the whole story. I'm still kicking. I must be on Broadway. It's so good. So good. So yeah, so he turns into some orange goo, and now McCombs is dead. He gets his wife out of the house before it blows up, and lays her down next to past Jean-Claude Van Damme. He goes to the present, finds out everything's fixed. goes to his home, and it's the same house that blew up, even though it blew up, I don't know, but same house. But he finds out he's a dad, and so the kid comes out, and like, he has no idea about it, but he's just like, whatever, I guess I'm a dad now, let's go barbecue some wieners. And that's the end of the movie. Awesome movie, loved it. I'm not too sure, like, wouldn't when he returned to the present time, wouldn't he like be filled with the memories of what happened in the past, or does he have to learn this kid's like past 12 years of his life since he was gone and changed everything? Like, is he gonna have to go back and like look at what this kid looked like as a baby and see him? Was he there to hold him? I'm guessing he was there, but he has no. It's so complicated, so confusing. So yeah, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is a special episode. We have a very special guest, good friend of mine, good friends of the podcast, the Magic Squirrel Network. You know, lucky to be affiliated in the same network as Juice in the Morning. You know, I've had the chance to be on his podcast a couple times. He's been on my other podcast, Pointless Discussions, a couple times. Real funny dude, awesome dude, Justin Kelly. He called in, so let's go ahead and take that and see what his opinions was on probably one of the only Jean-Claude Van Damme movies I think he's ever seen. And yeah, so here's Justin Kelly from the Juice in the Morning podcast.
I can do the splits, no problem.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's Justin Juice Kelly. I am the host of Juice in the Morning. I am a good friend of Paul Schroyer and the Pointless Discussions crew, as well as the Magic Squirrel Network. I am calling in and I am recording a little bit of a review slash segment for Van Damme. It's Jean-Claude, and we're talking Time Cop this evening, or day, whatever time you're listening to this. And I just wanted to give maybe my thoughts. We were going to do this episode together, but Paul and I's schedules didn't line up. So basically, I'm just going to go over my thoughts of the movie, and then he'll enter me in, or he'll input me into the episode. So the wonders of technology are amazing. So really quick, off the top of my head, I want to say this movie has an IMDb rating of it's a mid-level rating. I think Rotten Tomatoes is also mid-level. Let's check out the Rotten Tomatoes rating of Time Cop. Ooh, there was a Time Cop 2. That's crazy. I didn't even know that. But Time Cop is rated 45%. It's a rotten score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's no Terminator, but for those willing to suspend disbelief and rational thought, Time Cop provides limited science sci-fi action rewards. The audience score is actually even lower for Time Cop. The funny thing is Time Cop is, I think, one of the highest acclaim that Jean-Claude Van Damme got, at least in my opinion, maybe from some of his movies. I think it's one of his most well-known movies. That's why I know of it. But it is based on a comic book story. It's a good movie. I mean, when we started it, the credits are obviously really first and foremost really long, and in the beginning of the film, which, I mean, that's a standard for an older film. So it's funny because it's kind of dated right when you jump in, but it's entertaining. The White House scene is a little too long in my opinion. It's got some good cliches, but it does kind of take you out of it. There's also clearly 90s nostalgia showing up, because you've got the flannel shirt and a guy on some rollerblades, a little bit of fruit booting, and he's kicking towards his face, but so close, but he doesn't actually touch him. And he says, that purse doesn't look too good on you. The other thing is like, there was a lot of like plot holes and things that I had some issues with, but in the end, like I said, it's entertaining. He does the splits multiple times, which is always an amazing thing. The best part of the splits was definitely when it was 50,000 volts, motherfucker, and the guy shoots the taser at him, and it hits the water, and he pops up onto the counter with the splits. And, you know, one thing I would like to know, and Paul probably knows this better than me, were the splits something that he improvised? Like, if do you think the directors or the writers of the film had that planned out from the very beginning, he is going to do the splits right here, or was it something that Jean-Claude Van Damme did where he said, you know, right here I'm going to do the splits? And is that something that he decided to do to make the film better, more? It's one of those things, though, like it's when you're watching and you see him pull the move that you're used to, it's like, oh, yes, he did it. He did the splits. Like, we've been waiting all movie for this. So it's something that I want to know. I mean, it's his trademark. He's done it in a lot of films. But what started that? You know, why is it something that's such a big deal? But it's awesome. And then, you know, they even made fun of his accent a little bit. His wife at one point says, you know, they can barely understand you or something like that. And he says, well, I know all the good words. I know all the good words. Then there's some definite product placement. 7-Up makes an appearance. How about I just let it go out on a limb and tell everybody out there, 7-Up sucks. It's Sierra Mist or nothing, in my opinion. The undies splits, man, that was great. There's a guy dual-wielding knives, which you always have to have in an 80s film. And then there's a quick scene where they're getting ready to go back in time with him and his new partner. And we kind of, it just cuts to a woman naked on a bed with full bush. I'm not sure if it was a merkin or not. I wonder if that was real hair or if they just kind of slapped some of the merkin on there. If you don't know what a merkin is, just go ahead and Google it. She had some full bush, naked, weird 90s boobs. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens. They're real pointy. So she's basically making love to the camera. And then all of a sudden you see a guy take a headset off. And I think they kind of gloss over that this dude was definitely jerking off at work. Like, he was doing that, and they kind of just like joke about it and move along. I mean, he's in a police station, a time cop station, and he is jerking it to virtual reality porn. And it just kind of just gets it like, oh, you know, whatever, you better put that away. You know, it's just kind of, it's kind of an interesting situation. Then they make a joke like, you should start a gallery or something like that. And he says, well, all my good stuff's at home. So like, I'm trying to figure out what kind of virtual reality porn exists in this universe, in the 2004 universe. And that's what also is interesting. This future that they are in is 2004. So it's only 10 years from 1994. I think they were giving the human race a little too much credit on where we were going to be 10 years from 94. Because, A, we don't have, we barely have self-driving cars right now. These self-driving cars are murdering people left and right. We definitely don't have time travel. If we did, it would be, I don't know, maybe somebody does. I mean, there's probably conspiracy theories out there that states that we have the ability to time travel. But for the most part, 2004 was 15 years ago. And I want to say 2019 is not shockingly different, in my opinion, to 1994. Oh, also, last thing about kind of the goofy stuff in the movie, giant flashlights on handguns. I don't think that was well thought out. And Johnny and I were watching this movie together. Johnny made a great point. Why do all the weapons in 90s, 80s, 90s action movies look like weapons from the Fallout universe? I think that's a very valid question. I think it's, do you think Fallout took their ideas for weapons from the 90s, 80s films? Or do you think that that's just kind of the way... the way they went about designing their weapons? Everything had to be big and badass, had to have weird sounds too. It's just interesting. It's an interesting dynamic for the 1994. I'm trying to think of what else like I was doing in 1994. I think 1994 I was 7 years old. So The Beastie Boys' iconic Sabotage video was 94. Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction hit cinemas in September of 94. There was the introduction of U.S. sitcom Friends to TV screens. That's crazy. There was Oasis's release of Definitely Maybe and Blur's Parklife, two records whose swagger captured the renewed hope of a nation emerging from a recession and entering a new political era thanks to labor leader Tony Blair. Nelson Mandela became South Africa's first black president on May 10th, 1994. Never, never again will this beautiful land experience the oppression of one by another. Also, the Mandela effect, because I'm pretty sure he died in prison. Nirvana did their Unplugged in New York. Wow, 94 was a big year. I enjoyed this film. I would say if you were to give me a rating scale of 0 to 10, I would give this like a 6.5. A 6.5, it's a solid film. It's funny. It's entertaining. I would say on an entertainment scale, 0 to 10, let's give it a 7.5. Because I think that the entertainment you get from making jokes, enjoying the film, watching everything unfold, I think that increases the entertainment value. The last thing I want to get into is the fact that he comes back at the end and there's no protocol for you changing something in the past. Everybody's acting like, why are you so weird? Like, you know, why are you acting like, you know, people that are dead that shouldn't be dead, people that he doesn't know. He basically has no memory of the 10 years from 94 till the present in 2004. He has no memories of it. So that's a very giant plot hole in my opinion, because how does that work? How does he have no recollection of anything that happened whatsoever? So that's just kind of my thoughts on Time Cop. Loved it. Enjoyed it. Hope you have a great episode, Paul. I appreciate you taking the time to edit this in and put this in with the Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. And once again, if you are listening to this, go ahead and check out Juice in the Morning. You can find it on all your podcast apps. It's Juice in the Morning. It's an orange and black logo. You can find us on all social media at Juice in the AM. Once again, thanks, guys. Have a good one. Enjoy Time Cop. Go watch it.
I can do the splits. No problem.
All right, we're back, and again, Justin, thanks for calling in and giving us your review. I just want to go over some of the things that he said, and then we'll talk about next month's episode, because I got a special treat in store for everybody on that one. First thing, his impersonation of Jean-Claude Van Damme, Justin's from Juice in the Morning, his impersonation is way better than mine. That was awesome, and we might have to get you, I might have to write down some stuff and get him to read them for me and for like some ads and stuff. That'd be awesome. Alright, then he said something about like, you know, how he thought this was like one of the movies that Jean-Claude Van Damme was most well known for. It grossed over $100 million worldwide. It's still to whenever about April of 2018, this was still his highest grossing film as a lead role. So yeah, I would say, you know, whether people really enjoyed this movie or not, this is probably one of the movies that really people know Jean-Claude Van Damme from. Then next thing, let's go back to the guy masturbating at work. Another favorite line of mine, probably my third or fourth favorite, was when Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, "Yeah, safe sex." It's safe sex. I mean, it is. But yeah, nobody seemed to really care. I guess you need somebody with a unique mind to do the science and work, the time travel. So I think they kind of like overlook his weird behavior because of the fact that there's probably not a lot of people that could do that. I don't know. I can't really stick up and justify why they let some dude jerk off at work. I don't know. And then another thing. Yeah, I said earlier, you know, he had forgotten when he came back from the, at the end of the movie, when he comes to the present from the past, and he had forgotten the past 12 years of his son's life. Yeah, it was 10 years. I don't know why I said 12. Obviously, 1994 to 2004 is 10 years. Never said math was my strong point. Don't know why I said 12. Thanks for pointing that out before I started getting messages about that. Yeah. So, yeah, again, thanks, Justin, for calling in. I would say with your 6.5 over your 6.5 for a movie and 7.5 for entertainment, that averages out to a 7 out of 10. I feel like that's a fair rating for this movie. It definitely wasn't like his best movie. It was fun to watch. I had a good time watching it. I hope everybody listening to this podcast enjoyed it. And I hope, you know, even if you haven't seen the movie, I hope after you listen to this podcast, you go out and check out Time Cop. You won't be disappointed. I mean, don't go into it thinking, you know, it's a sci-fi masterpiece. Just go in there having fun and you'll have fun. All right. So before we go into what movie we're talking next month, I want to let you guys know that there is Van Damme Jean-Claude merch over at teespring.com/stores/magic squirrel. That's teespring.com/store/magic squirrel. And you can pick up a Van Damme Jean-Claude shirt. You can pick up a Juice in the Morning hoodie. You can pick up pillows from the Magic Squirrel Network, Pointless Discussion, leggings, whatever you want. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff on there. And I heard through the grapevine that we might be getting shower curtains soon. And it's ever expanding. So teespring.com/stores/magic squirrel. Check it out. Also, yeah. So you also head over to Magic Squirrel Network on the Facebook. You know, the Facebook that everybody be using. Head over there. Magic Squirrel Network. Like and follow that. Because you're going to definitely want to do that for our next episode. In March, on March 2nd, is Street Fighter. Van Damme starred in Street Fighter in 1994, written and directed by Steven E. D. Swarza. I probably screwed that up real bad. For Universal, and it was based on the video game. It was poorly received critically, but still a commercial success. Van Damme's fee was now $8 million. For a movie. So he got paid $8 million for Street Fighter, and I feel like he probably spent a good million on cocaine, because we will get into that for sure. Yeah, and why should you head over to Magic Squirrel Network and like it for the Street Fighter episode? Well, because I'm about to tell you. We are going to be live streaming that episode, because that's going to be our 1 year anniversary. That's episode 12. We release one every month, so I might be terrible at math, but I'm pretty sure that equals a year. I mean, technically, the year is at the end of the month, but we're going to celebrate it the entire month. And therefore, Street Fighter is going to be our 1 year show, and I am giving away free merchandise. And this is how you get it. Check out the live stream. It'll be on the Magic Squirrel Network Facebook page. Time to be determined. I'll be making posts on there about that. So the sooner you like and follow, the better. Then when the stream happens, join us. Talk about Street Fighter. Say hi. I'd like to meet some of you guys who are listening and chit-chat with you about it. And all you have to do is share the live stream, and you'll be entered to win a free Van Damme Jean-Claude merch of your choice. That means you could get a pillow, you could get a hoodie, you could get I don't know if there's leggings for Van Damme. You will head on there, you can check it out, and I will send it to you. So, yeah, that's March 2nd. Magic Squirrel Network Facebook page. You don't want to miss that. Thank you for listening. That's going to do it. I'm going to wrap this up. I have got to take my daughter to the grocery store. So, kumite.
The squirrel was magic!
You don't have to like Limp Bizkit to like Two Sides and a Biscuit, a new podcast about life, Limp Bizkit, and recipes. Join hosts Rick Wimmer and Paul Schroyer every Monday on Anchor or MagicSquirrelNetwork.com, baby!